My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force Colonel Dick Brower. He is also involved with the group Special Operations Speaks, and he is joining me today to explain why the group is now demanding that Attorney General Eric Holder appoint a special prosecutor to get to the bottom of what really happened in the terrorist attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, back on September the 11th. And Colonel Brower, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, sir.
What led you and your colleagues to decide that a special prosecutor from the Justice Department was the only way this was going to really be discovered what happened here?
Well, basically, we view the events in Libya as sort of a jigsaw puzzle that's been dumped out of the box onto the table, and there's a heck of a lot of pieces that need to be put together to reveal the big picture. Unfortunately, this puzzle box had no picture on it, so we're trying to actually figure out what is the truth behind what really happened. And we were able to discuss this at a press conference on November 15th on the House Triangle in front of the U.S. Capitol building and discuss the pieces that involve the puzzle that's Benghazi, which is a national tragedy. People refer to it as Benghazi Gate, but I personally don't like that because it lends itself to be considered along with Watergate, and unfortunately, people died in this particular tragedy, and no one died in Watergate. But we looked at it from a standpoint of timelines, and there's a heck of a lot of puzzle pieces that need to be examined and questions as to who, what, when, and where, and why. Basically, the timelines are before the attack, during the attack, and after the attack, and I could be brief and sum up what happened before the attack as many reports were sent in for additional security by the ambassador and his staff mentioning Al-Qaeda as a threat. Detailed reports were sent almost a month before that they needed increased security. It was disapproved. It was denied. Even the officer in charge of the Special Forces team that was in the vicinity requested that his team be extended, and it was not only denied, it was disapproved. So greatly reduced security. All points indicated that something was going to happen, that Al-Qaeda was a distinct threat. People were withdrawn from the embassy, but yet our people stayed. And the question there is why, even after they noticed that a policeman, a Libyan policeman, had been surveying the facility ahead of time, and he was a member of an Islamist-leaning brigade. So the question of why. Then during the attack, a whole bunch of events occurred that are just not the way things normally happen in a situation like this. When an event like this happens, an alert goes out, and the president must be notified within 10 minutes under the rules of engagement that under what they call a flash critic level that something is underway. And it's important to emphasize that this tragedy occurred over 7 hours and nothing was done. People were told to stand down. Less than 1 hour into the attack, the CIA clearly identified that this was not the result of a video. This was a well-orchestrated military-style attack with the use of heavy weapons, grenade launchers, crew-served machine guns, and mortars. And I don't know of any flash mob that uses mortars. That's a military weapon that takes a fair amount of training and skill to use properly. So within an hour, the ambassador screams for help, and he doesn't get it. All sorts of forces were readily available to go to the aid of the ambassador and his staff, special forces strike teams, battalion of the 173rd Airborne Brigade, special forces teams in Africa, even the Navy and the Air Force fighters and the AC-130 gunships. I'm intimately familiar with the gunship. And the questions arise as to why those forces weren't launched. And specifically, the wild card in all of this were the two Navy SEALs. That was Woods and Daugherty, who came to the rescue, who did what SEALs do and what warriors are trained to do, and that's run to the sound of the guns. And they were told specifically to stand down. And that term was used several times. Stand down. Don't do anything. Why? Why were they told that? They're in this tragedy. They did run to the sound of the guns, and they paid with their lives. Not only that, but one of the SEALs was designating with a laser designator, painting a target and calling for a gunship. So I suspect their gunship was nearby, if not overhead, and they were told probably not to fire. That's my opinion again, but somebody was close by. Otherwise, that SEAL would have never lased the target and spotted on a mortar. And that was the mortar that killed him as soon as he did that. So he was expecting support that he never got. So that's one of the questions. Who gave the order to stand down? Where were the airframes? Why weren't they launched? Why were they held back? And everybody knew about this. Command centers were watching this situation for about 6 hours into this attack, and there were at least 12 command centers involved. Once this flash critic message goes out, the president's notified within 10 minutes, and everybody's on the horn, and the National Military Command Center in the Pentagon, the White House Situation Room, CIA's Ops Center, European Command, African Command, Special Ops Command, Supreme Allied Command, Europe, Atlantic Command, NATO, Central Command, and Transportation Command. They're listening to this, and the logs and their recordings would reveal this, and that's why we need to find out who has done what, who is not doing what they should be doing, and why. Who gave the order to stand down, not to go to the aid of our people. So lots of questions in the puzzle that must be assembled, and the only way we can do this is to put pressure on Congress, we feel, to get Eric Holder, the Attorney General in the Justice Department, to appoint an independent counsel, a Republican independent counsel, because I'm afraid Eric Holder might be might put the fox in the hen house, so to speak, and we would never get to the truth. But the truth has got to come out as to why we let these people die, and when something could have been done. Even if some fighter aircraft had buzzed that area within 20 minutes from the carrier and gone into afterburner, that probably would have disrupted the attack, if not dispersed the individuals involved. So Special Operations Speaks is speaking out not just for Special Operations personnel, but all the people in the United States that demand to know the truth, particularly the families of the people that need closure on why their loved ones died, and we need the truth. And so we're going to continue to put pressure as best we can on Congress. We have a couple of representatives within Congress that attended our press conference that clearly support getting to the bottom of this.
We're talking with retired U.S. Air Force Colonel Dick Brower. Last question, sir, before we let you go. Have you been in personal contact with the families of those who were killed in Benghazi? And if so, what have they told you about the fact that it's been so difficult to get some concrete facts on what happened?
No, we haven't. And that's been intentional, because early on in this, I believe it was the mother of one of the SEALs, I forget whether it was Daugherty or Woods, requested that this not be the deaths of their sons not be politicized, and we felt that to honor their request not to try and politicize their deaths, we would not be interviewing the families, especially during their time of grief. And so the answer is no. We have specifically and intentionally not tried to do that, because they requested that.
Sir, we'll certainly be watching to see if Congress moves in this and whether the Justice Department complies. Sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, sir. Retired U.S. Air Force Colonel Dick Brower. He is with the group Special Operations Speaks, again pushing for a special prosecutor and a Republican special prosecutor at that, to look into what happened and to answer some of the critical outstanding questions as it relates to the terrorist attack in Benghazi. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.